God our strength. Cry out to God our helper. Rejoice and do not fear to appear before our God. It is God who led our ancestors through hard times. It is God who leads us through difficult days. God will not leave us or forsake us. God welcomes us to the banquet of life. Listen now to the voice of God. God fills our mouths with good things. God offers us fountains of living water. Listen now to the voice of God and submit to God's will. Hear the word of God and turn away from worthless things. We will delight in the commandments of our God. We will share eagerly in the work God gives to us.
Let us join together in praying the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. Gracious God, our helper, we seek the assurance of your presence in this time of worship. We have come to listen and to receive your counsel. Melt our stubborn hearts to remove the barriers that keep us from seeing your glory and doing your will. Challenge all that is worthless and unprofitable in our lives, that we may become worthy imitators of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We invite John Thomas to come and give us a financial report.
Well, good morning, and I'd ask that you pray for me as I speak with you this morning. I was asked by the administrative board to please give a report to the congregation. Before I do that, I would ask that we review the mission of the church. And the mission of Main Street United Methodist Church is to be a community of disciples, calling all to Christ through love and example. If you would, the insert in your bulletin, if you would look at the 2010 plan, we'd look at that first. I think I want to first kind of learn from this morning's service, try to explain a little bit about how the plan's put together. But the department, or not department, but committee chairs and staff basically submit requests for funding. From that, there are discussions with the finance committee, and the administrative board approves the budget. From that, we take pledges from the congregation on faith that we will, the Lord will provide for us, and we're able to meet our mission as put together with the plan. As you can see in the 2010 plan, we had pledges of $448,000. There are many members of the church that do not pledge but give very faithfully. And based on past history, we were estimating around $227,000 for total contributions of $674,000. The budget had salaries at about $400,000. Our planned apportionments, based on a formula that's given to us by the annual conference, was $135,000. We've got our utilities, the lights, the air, which makes it comfortable for us to worship. Also, the gas bills, that's about $106,000. And then, of course, the reason we're here is our missions, our education, and our ministry is $127,000. So as you can see, our budgeted amount was about $768,000 with a planned contribution level of $674,000. So as we went into this year, we thought our deficit, unless someone gave some special gifts, would be about $93,000. So as I met with the administrative board last Sunday, we reported where we were on pledges given year to date. If you look on the back side of that insert, is basically a report that was given. Based on a linear giving throughout the year, the plan was that we would have received $317,000 in pledges, and you can see we've only received $263,000 for a deficit of $54,000. If that pattern or giving continues at that pace, we would be short about $76,000 or $77,000 of our pledges by the end of the year. Then those who give faithfully, even though they're not pledging, our Sunday school and in the loose contributions in the offering plate, we'd estimated we should be around $161,000 this time of the year. And we're actually at about 121. So based on that, we're estimating year in about 56,000 short in those contributions. So if we were to estimate what the year in contributions would be, if we continue as we have the first 8 months of the year, you can see our contributions would be 542. And if we spend the entire budget, we would be short $225,000 at year end. I'd ask that you pray for the church and pray for those who are able to give, that they will be touched to do so, so that we can fulfill our mission. And for those that are unable to give, we're grateful for your attendance and your time. Many in the church give time, and we appreciate those gifts as well. Continue to pray for the finance committee and for each of you in the church. Thank you.
Let us have a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, we know that you came and you gave all. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And as we come to you this day in dealing with the reality of these days, and we know that you will guide us safely through. We thank you, God, for the leaders of the church, for those who are participating in budgeted programs and working to reach lost men and women, boys and girls, for the kingdom of God. And we pray that you will help us to be a part of and to do what you would have us to do, and that you would help us with our financial figures. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I invite now Kathy Kelly to come and for our Sunday school teacher dedication. Invite all the teachers to come down front. All teachers.
One of the ways we as a congregation help teach the foundations of our Christian faith and explore the teachings of the Bible is through our Sunday school programs. Sunday school is an important part of the life of a Christian person from birth until death, because it is here that you grow your faith, you learn the stories of our faith, and join with other Christians as we build up the body of Christ. Today we commission our Sunday school teachers.
At this time, I would like, well, they're already here, to invite the teachers to come forward. Right? Our Lord, who came along among us as a servant, calls us to faith and a life of loving service to our neighbors. You stand among us as one called to render a particular task. A service, a gift from God to inspire us to love and to good works. For as in a body we have many members, not all members have the same function. So we who are many, as one body in Christ, and individually, we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. So I ask you now, will you assume this ministry in the confidence it comes from God? If so, you will say, I will with God's help.
I will.
Will you teach in accordance with the Holy Scriptures? If so, answer, I will with God's help. Will you be diligent in the study of the Holy Scriptures and faithful in your use of the means of grace and prayer?
I will.
Will you trust in God's care? Seek to grow in love for those you serve. Strive for excellence in your skills and adore the gospel of God with a godly life. If you will, say, I will with God's help.
I will with God's help.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who has given to these their spirit to do these things, graciously give them the strength and the compassion to perform them. Amen. I now dedicate you to your service, the teachers of God's people, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we all say, Amen.
All right. Teachers, I would like for you all to split down the middle, and some of you stay over here, and some of you gather on this side. And at this time, I would like to ask all the third graders to come up front, please. Still have one. Come on, Emery. Emery, you're down there. All right. To each one of you third graders, I want you to look to your left and to your right. These persons, you're looking very hesitantly. They're not going to bite you. You have people standing over here. You have people standing over here. These persons represent the teachers that have led you through your first years of Christian education in Sunday school and who will continue to be very important in the continuation of your Sunday school days the rest of your life. Now turn around and look at the congregation. All the way around. There you go. These are the persons who have prayed for you, supported you, and will continue to be your champions. Like Reverend Martin said last week during the baptism, one day someone may say that you're not wonderful or beautiful or capable, and these people here are always here to say, yes, you are. Now turn back around and face us. These people, the congregation of Main Street United Methodist Church, have a very special gift for you today. It is a copy of the New Revised Standard Version of the Holy Bible. Your name is engraved on the front, and it is very precious. Get to know it and bring it every week to Sunday school. It has many stories in it, that some of which you already know and some that you will come to know and love. And at this time, Reverend Martin will present you with your own copy of the Bible. Olivia Rowland, Layton Logan, Bennett Charles, Emery Britt, Joe Benjamin, and Lucas Bassett. All right, thank you very much. You can go back to your seat.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as we have celebrated this day, those who have given of themselves and are continuing to be willing to study and to apply themselves as teachers for the children, as we acknowledge with the anthem that they are beloved of God and chosen, we give thanks to you for the wonderful joy that we have being the church, a place that reaches out to every age, station, race, creed, and says that God loves you, that God really loves you. And we pray, dear Lord, that our church will be a place where people sense and experience the awesome, loving power of God. To be here in the sanctuary of holiness and to dedicate our lives afresh, over and over again, to God. To be used as you would wish. And we pray, dear God, for these whose names are listed in our bulletin and those who have special needs. And especially this day, we pray for Jay Pendergrass and for Larry Jenkins and for the family of Bill Hand and Jimmy Wade. That you will be with them, dear God, and to touch them and to be with their families and minister to them. We thank you again for the freedom of our great land. For troops as they serve, we're asked for ministers and missionaries who likewise are sent forward into this world of ours. Be with them, dear God. Be with our president as he leads us, and other leaders as well, and bishops as they lead the church. And we pray together as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Sisters, would you come, please? Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for these faithful gifts that have been brought before your altar. Use them, Almighty God, for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ here and around the world. And bless giver and gift, and those who have not and those who choose not to give this day. Let your blessings rest upon them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
And if there are any first graders here today, those are reminded that they go out with me for worship readiness after children's time.
Good morning. How are your first 2 weeks of school? Good? Mine were good too. I have really good students. Do you have really good teachers? Yes, I have really good students. They're a little talkative, but they're really smart and fun. And there's one right there. Good morning. All right. I would like for you to think about old Yertle the Turtle. How many of you have ever read Yertle the Turtle? It's a famous Dr. Seuss book. Okay, well, you got it? Good. Oh, okay. I like puzzles, too. This is Yertle the Turtle, and this is poor little Mac on the bottom. Just keep that in mind as I talk to you this morning. Well, if you will remember that Yertle the Turtle did not like his throne. He was the king. He did not like his throne, which was really a large stone. So he ordered all of the other turtles to stack themselves up one on top of each other so that he could be on the top and survey his kingdom. Can you imagine how Mac, the turtle on the bottom, the poor turtle on the bottom who had to bear all of the weight of the other turtles, can you imagine how he felt being last, being on the bottom? On the other hand, how do you think it felt to be Yertle the Turtle on the top, so proud and so high and mighty, surveying his kingdom? Well, it wasn't very nice at all. It certainly wasn't. And you would think that he would be satisfied being on the top, but oh no. Yertle the Turtle, when he saw the moon rising that night, and it was even higher than he was furious. And he ordered all of the other remaining turtles to also stack themselves up beneath. Well, before that could happen, poor old Mac the Turtle on the very, very bottom, who was probably had the worst backache you could ever imagine bearing all of the weight of the turtles. Well, he let out a very large, very impolite burp. And when he burped, guess what happened? All of the turtles, including the Yertle the Turtle, the king, fell onto the bottom and squarely into the mud. How many of you have ever heard the expression, pride goeth before a fall? That means you better not be too proud, or you better not think too much of yourselves, or you could wind up on the bottom. Jesus warns us of that very same thing. He warns us that that can happen to us in the Bible, especially if we let ourselves get too proud, or if we put ourselves first all the time, or if we think we're better than other people. Jesus teaches us to be humble, and to put others first. Now, do you think that Jesus was more like Yertle the turtle, thinking he was always number one? Or do you think Jesus was more like Mac the turtle, who put others before himself and bore the pain and the weight of all of the other turtles? Which one do you think Jesus was more like? Which one? Mac? I think so too. Me too. I know it. If he had not burped, he would have been squished. And so what I want you to think about this week, as you go about your busy school week and you go to your dance lessons and you go to your sports practices, I want you to think about putting others before yourself, because I think that's what Jesus would want us to do in our daily lives. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for all of our gifts. Help us to be humble servants and put others first. Amen.
Together in professing the affirmation of faith as printed in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Remain standing, please, for the gospel lesson that's found in the gospel according to Luke, first verse and then 7 through 14 of the 14th chapter. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. And when he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lower place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who examine themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case you may invite, they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Someone asked me last week how I felt when I came to Main Street and I had so many preachers in the audience. I said I felt a little bit like a lion in a den of Daniels. It is good to be among men and women who have meant so much to the church, and that we have journeyed together through the years. And I say with very much humility that it is a joy to be looked upon to proclaim God's word to them, but also I lean upon them for a lot of advice and guidance, and I have found them to be as willing now to help me as they were ever willing to help in years gone by, and I have phenomenal love and respect for them, and am glad to be in their presence. It is said that Coach Shug Jordan of Auburn asked a former linebacker, Mike Colin, who was a player for the Miami Dolphins, he said, "I want you to help me recruit." He said, "I want you to go out and find me somebody." And he said, "You know, there are some players who knock players down in the football field and they just get up." And he looked at him and said, "Yeah, coach, we don't want nobody like that, right?" He said, "That's right. We don't want somebody like that." He said, "You know, there are others that knock down players and they get up, and he knock them down again, and they get up, and he knock them down again, and they get up, and he knock them down again, and they get up. We don't want no players like that either." He said, "Well, coach, what type of players do we want?" He said, "We want one guy that can knock them all down and they stay down." Sometimes when we think about our invitation to play on the team and we think about the level of expectation, we may feel like sometimes a little bit overwhelmed. As I read this passage of Scripture again, and I thought about the kingdom of God and how this passage relates to the kingdom of God, the parties, the socials that I've been privileged to be invited to. I remember there was a lady, and Linda and I were invited to a party, and we had a great time. And several months went on, and there was another party. We were invited. We had a wonderful time. And several months went on, and there was another party. We were invited. We had a great time. And on the way home, I looked at Linda, and I said, Linda, do you think maybe that we're expected to throw this type of party ourselves? And Linda looked at me and says, well, if they are, they're mighty mistaken in inviting us. And sure enough, that was the case. We didn't have the facilities, but we would have gladly participated in the expense of the parties and those type of things if we'd have been asked. But the intent was for us to give a party in return. I remember when I moved into a community and was talking with someone and a name was mentioned, and they said, oh, they give wonderful parties, but don't be expected to be invited. And so I was not expecting to be invited. And lo and behold, I received an invitation. And so I told the individual, I said, I received an invitation to this party. He said, how in the world did you do that? I said, I was a friend. I was a friend of this person. And we talked and had some meals together. And she said, well, it's very unusual for a minister to be invited. And maybe as you look at this passage of Scripture, you think about those parties and those times and those events that you were invited to. And maybe the condition of the invitation. As I read this passage of Scripture, there's a lot of things here that I'm not accustomed to. But I do know one time in the military as a captain, chaplain there in the wing, I went up to the head table. We were having a big reception, and I knew that I was not supposed to be sitting at the head table until the two-star general said, here, chaplain, sit here. Now I was caught. How do I tell a two-star general that I'm not going to sit there, and how do I not sit there, and he's a two-star general? So I pulled out the chair and sat there, and later on I went to my commander and I said, the only reason I sat at that table was because the general told me to. Well, my commander was a general as well. I don't know how that ever came out, my benefit or not, but it sure gave me an excuse. But I think about those individuals at this time, and I can imagine, they say that the couches at this time were sort of in a U-shaped circle, and the place of highest honor was the one closest to the one who gave the party. That was sort of the place where everybody wanted to sit. And I can imagine these individuals as they would slide in and sort of sneak around to get closer in to the head table. And I can imagine as they would kind of look at each other to see how they could elbow one another around a little bit and sort of slide in. And then Jesus said, the giver of the party comes and asks you to please move so that the other one could sit down. How does that relate to us and the church? I've heard it said that people have come to church and sat in a pew, and someone would come up to them and say, you're sitting in my place. And I think about those that we would invite to be a part of Main Street. You've heard about our budget this morning, and And I remember Willimon writing in his book, and he said that many times our evangelistic campaigns amount to something like this: won't you please come over and join our church and help us pay the budget? And Jesus says, he says, when you give a party, invite those outcast, the lame, the crippled, the blind, the poor. Because he speaks to us about a kingdom to come. He speaks to us about his heavenly Father's habitation. And he says, you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, but you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus speaks to us about a way to live our lives. He speaks to us about an attitude to have, I feel, in the church for today. He calls for us to go into the highways and byways and to compel people to come to the kingdom. He speaks for us to be laborers in the vineyard. He speaks these parables to us about how to live our lives. And not just for public accolades, but he speaks to us about Christian commitment and dedication. This is a party. We're inviting folks to come and to be a part. Who are you inviting to this party? Amen. Closing hymn number 166, All Blessed Thee, For Thou, O King Divine.
Oh.
Receive now the benediction. May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide with you and keep you both now and evermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.